on this episode of American Chopper.
It's a little different, huh?
Sure is. I like this idea.
OCC is tapped to build the ultimate meteorite hunting vehicle for the Science Channel's meteorite men.
The fact that Poole Sr. and his team are actually building a motorcycle for the meteorite men, I think is pretty much the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Paul Jr. moves forward with plans for his first solo build, a web-themed bike to rival anything from the past.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the idea for a bike like that.
But just as the parts start rolling in, a tragic accident rocks Paul Jr. designs to the core.
We're all in shock right now.
And word quickly gets back to OCC.
It's a tragic thing.
Senior puts their differences aside and reaches out to Junior and Mikey.
I guess the important thing is that you and Mikey are okay.
But are his efforts too little too late?
You know, you could say an awful lot of things, but your actions are what matter, am I right?
Yeah.
You know, I think designing a bike for myself is different from designing a bike for another person in the simple fact that there are absolutely no parameters to what it is that you can do. It is whatever you want to do, and I love that. This bike is a web theme bike, and it's true that we've done it before, but this bike will blow away all the other web theme bikes that came before it. It's going to have a cage web on each side of the gas tank, custom fenders, and really sick wheels. The first bike me and Vinny ever built together was the Black Widow bike, and that was for OCC. And I just think it's important that the first bike back, we can show that we're even better than that. The ideas are all there. We put the order in for all the parts we need. Now we just got to meet with the electrician, Pete, and make sure we got power running to all the machines.
Hello, gentlemen.
Pete!
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Just want to stop by and go over some equipment
layouts. We had questions and we had answers for you.
Good.
Yep.
You know, in a perfect world, we'd have our electric up. We'd start building our bike right now. Right now, we're running low on time. And on top of which, we have new machinery we have to learn how to use. And, you know, a lot of radical ideas Paulie wants to do.
Now, we're going to have power today or tomorrow or what's...
You mean your new power? The new service. No, you will not have it today. I've been calling the utility company, and they said that they're thinking middle of next week.
Next week?
You know, going by track record, the way everything's been happening, we've been running into snags everywhere. So, you know, if this continues throughout the whole bike build, you know, it could set us back, and it's gonna stink because the bike's gonna suffer.
What happened? Because I thought we were set from the pole to the shop.
They reevaluated the network wiring out there, and they realized to give you what you wanted, they need another high tension line run. Problem is that Paul has two very large machines that use a lot of energy. If we were to turn on those machines with the current transformers or power supply, we would knock out the whole line out to the street. So there's absolutely nothing that's going to happen until that power, the new service, is turned on.
Once they get juice from up there to down here, we're ready to...
Yeah, we did the CT metering is done on the pole as far as the meter out there going up. And actually, we hooked up the Haas machine and the FlowJet already.
We're going to have the machines ready to go, but we thought we had this taken care of 2 months ago. We were told we were going to be okay with the power coming into the building, but I can't do anything about it. You know, Pete, it's out of his control, and we got to wait on the utility company. You know, it's what it is. Okay, well... Just seems to be the pattern around here, right? Gosh, we just want to start building a bike.
You know, behind closed doors, we've talked about bringing our first bike, doing the unveil at Sturgis. Sturgis is the biggest bike show in America. And, you know, we're getting to a point now where if we wait any longer, it might not happen no matter how hard we push.
Now we'll have to figure it out. All right, Pete.
All right, guys.
Thanks for the bad news.
Anytime I can give it to you, I will. Thanks for not
thanking. I appreciate it.
We'll take the good next time.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to figure something out. We always do. We always have. So we'll get the bikes done. Even if we got to work around the clock, whatever we got to do to get this thing done is what we'll do. But it does set us back.
I'll make the phone calls I have to. I'll start getting the air and electric on them.
Okay.
Right there. I'll tell Ron where we're putting them so he can at least run the piping to it.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
guys doing?
Very nice.
Good. Let's rock and roll.
We had Jeff and Steve up here from the Meteorite Men's Show.
I call shotgun.
The reason these guys are here is that we're building a bike for them, actually, that they'll be able to use to look for meteorites. It's going to be an all-terrain vehicle. I think it's going to entail a lot of fabrication. It's very unique.
We'll use these when we're in an area where we're pretty sure there's stuff close at hand.
In our work, we use a lot of really unusual equipment. Giant metal detectors, ground-penetrating radar. We thought we would head out in the field with Paul Sr. and show him a little bit of what we do, kind of tools we use, how we hunt for meteorites. These are very powerful rare earth magnets, most powerful ones we can get.
So they're just magnetized to this thing,
yes.
Correct?
Yep, we just slap them on the rock pick, and meteorites contain iron. So when we're digging, we find a suspected target. The first thing we do is test it with a magnet.
Oh, there you go.
That's what we want to see.
Well, it's nice to see some of the gear that they brought up, the pickaxes, the metal detectors. All of these are things we're going to need to make compartments for on the bike.
All right, fire up
maybe
that machine.
One of the ones
I made. Let's find something.
Today, we're kind of old school. We've got the handheld detectors, and so we're going to have a chance to be able to look for anything metal in the ground. Well,
is that something?
Pick away.
We find a meteor, I'm telling you, all right, I'll be a believer.
Oh, duh.
Wow.
Let's put a property marker.
What's that?
It's your property marker.
Okay, who wants to try the metal detector? You want to give it a try, Paul?
Yeah, sure.
It's been a really enjoyable experience for everyone. They got to see how we hunt in the field. They got to try out some of our gear.
And I got one going over here.
Has Paul got something? Sometimes it'll just react to the ground. I think it's picking up your boot, actually. It's picking up the eyelets in your boot. It's that sensitive.
Now that I have a better understanding what Jeff and Steve are up against here, they need an awesome vehicle to get them everywhere they need to go, and all these awkward tools that they got to carry around.
Back to the shop so we can build your machine. Once Jason comes up with the design, I think we're going to invite these guys back to the shop and figure out how we're going to put all this equipment on the bike.
It's amazing what you can find in the woods.
Taking time out of my already busy schedule, working with Paul to help Mikey and his assistant get some things on track. Mainly, he let his auto insurance lapse, so now I have to fix it.
What, the cops?
Catherine, it's perfectly safe.
Are you kidding me? Cut it out! You're in enough trouble already.
Mikey hasn't had insurance for 3 months, and Mikey's been driving his assistant around who's legally blind. It's a serious issue, and he could get in a lot of trouble.
Michael.
Clean this up.
Come on up here, out of your comfort zone.
Myself and Catherine sat him and his assistant, Mike, down. Really important for this kid to get organized. I know he's trying. He's just missing the mark on a lot of spots.
The most important problem here is that 3 weeks ago I told you have no car insurance. So what's been happening is DMV is now giving you a fee every day they're fining you. It could affect your license. It's a problem. I asked 3 weeks ago you take care of it. I understand you did call Matt.
Yeah.
But nothing was ever followed through. Basically, no one wants to insure you.
Now explain that. I'm a world-class driver. I got into two fender benders last year. I had to use my insurance, and now insurance doesn't want to live up to it. Like, it's not like I was drinking and driving I smashed into 15 people.
On October
3rd,
you had an at-fault accident. On November 4th, you had an at-fault accident. On June 1st, you had an at-fault accident. And on October 4th, you had an at-fault accident. So those are...
I don't remember them.
Four accidents in like 5 months.
Something
I rear-ended
like
that cop in my driveway.
Yeah.
And then I got into the accident coming home from Adams shopping the one time, and that's it.
You rear-ended a cop in your driveway?
Who was looking at my house to buy it?
Come on.
Some of this insurance stuff could be real serious. So we just want to make sure that he's taking care of business, and we're trying to help him out. But at the same time, you know, his assistant, Mike, has to learn the ropes.
I understand this is all new for you, so you can just ask me and I will help you. But I'm very busy doing all kinds of stuff for Paul and the business that I can't keep track of Mikey. Mikey is a full-time job.
Yeah, he's your full-time job.
And he's got to be yours.
I know that.
The assistant thing just doesn't work if neither of them knows what's going on. So the meeting wasn't to embarrass Michael or berate him in any way. It was just to help him along in getting organized for the future.
You literally have...
It's just maintenance.
Zero responsibilities when it comes to any of this kind of stuff.
Bill comes in the mail.
Pay it. It's real simple.
You know, the reason behind Paul and Catherine giving us a hard time is honestly that they both care. So in that, I really appreciate that they show concern because, you know, I could probably be arrested for not having insurance.
All right, come on, let's get to work.
Get over here, Rick, you jerk.
Dude, man. Today we're going to be starting a new project on Meteorite Men. It's a really cool bike, something that they're actually going to use wherever they're going to be looking for the meteors.
It's a little different, huh?
Sure is. I like this
idea. It's like a
rap
patrol.
What motor are we using?
96.
Are we just going to use a
96-inch?
We're going to use 96-inch because they plan on using this in the desert. So we got to give it the most advantage for cooling.
Yeah. All right, do we got the frame and stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it's over by the door.
Rock and roll.
It's just going to be a really, really funky design and everything. It's just, you know, totally different than something we've done.
Over here, you kooky son of a bitch.
Yeah,
we picked out a design that'll allow them to ride on road, off road, fire roads.
Oh, look at the size of that gator. Oh,
all right. Look at that.
That is sweet.
It's going to be a real challenge because we're going way outside of the OCC box.
You take the front scooter, I'll take the back.
We're going to have like about 9 inches of ground clearance on this bike.
Is it Jack Odo height?
It's going to have like a sidecar platform on it where they're going to be able to carry, you know, some of their equipment and stuff like that so they can actually work.
Their object is that they can pull their sonogram thing or whatever they use, their magnet detector, along behind them at less than a walking pace. So they can sit on the computer and watch what they're seeing underneath.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah, when the meteorite men come in tomorrow, it should be pretty good. We can get some insight from them and figure out what components that they're going to need to have attached to this so they can do their job.
I like it.
Suckamucka.
Oh, what do we got here?
It's going to be another week until I get power, and I'm still waiting on bike parts. So although I'm very frustrated, today I'm taking time away from pitching bikes and getting everything going. To try and get out there and support Michael a little bit. Got him a bunch of supplies, because we're a little concerned about his lethargicness these days.
Figure we'll get him motivated.
You know, there's really not a lot of stuff to do in the shop today. The electrician's just doing some small little things. So Paulie and Rachel went to an art supply store and just basically hooked Mikey up.
Oh.
Man, they got him canvases. They got him all the stuff that Mikey wants that he's not going to get. Set it all up like it was Christmas Eve. And you can tear it off.
We made this a priority because Michael's important to me. Really, really is important to everyone here. Everyone has a good relationship with him. Everyone wants to see him succeed, and everyone wants to see him utilize that space that otherwise we're going to use. It's important to me that Michael has his own dreams separate from me, and I'm not going to lord over him. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be his brother. But, you know, that goes both ways. You can't just always go easy because, hey, if I got something to say to him, I have to say it. So it's not always about, oh, Mikey, you're going to walk around on eggshells. You just got to keep it real, that's all.
Hey!
Listen to me. Everybody wants you to be around here and doing stuff, and you're not here doing anything, and everybody's getting pissed off about it. So I need you to come in as soon as you can.
Okay.
It's not funny, Mike. You know? Yeah, yeah, we got space over here that's just taking up space.
Yeah, I'm taking up that space.
Well, no, technically you're not because you're not here.
Are you serious right now?
I'll see you when you get here.
That's good.
Michael's very talented. You know, everyone's always saying pursue your art, pursue your comedy. And sometimes he just needs a little nudge, that's all.
Here he comes, guys. Here he comes.
I know. So
here he comes, man.
Don't look. Can he see you?
Well, I guarantee you his assistant didn't see us.
No, he didn't. So we're safe there.
Oh, man, that's bad.
I need you to take care of your space.
You know, I honestly thought I was in trouble with Paul. The thought had kind of brushed my mind that he was setting me up for the old surprise, but that never happens.
Okay, listen, just come inside. Let's talk. We'll go by your space and talk about it.
Ah!
Supplies!
You know, I'm so used to kind of being yelled at for being late and being sort of absent that it took probably a good 5-6 seconds to soak in that everybody was smiling. This is amazing.
Right? Look at this. Look at these brushes.
Wow.
Pretty hefty, huh?
Yeah. This is not cheap.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, you know, I think Mikey loved this stuff today. I think it made it a little better that I was busting his chops. And for him to come in and see the show of support from everyone here, I think it was a big deal for him.
This is the greatest. One day I'm going to be a real boy.
And it's breathable, Pinocchio.
Oh, it is breathable.
You know, when Michael was at OCC, I don't think anyone took him seriously, and I think in part including myself. But, you know, things are changing. My life's changed, and, you know, whatever it is that he wants to do, we're going to get behind it.
This is like Christmas, man. This is better than Christmas.
They're awesome.
You get it?
Yeah, I got like 30 of them.
Well, get Peyton. I love you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, brother.
Love you, too.
Fired the hell out of that.
Seeing all these supplies and everything and how much from the heart it was, Paulie really meant it when he got it for him. And, you know, when he said he loved him, it's his brother. I know he really loves him. And I think it really was one of Mikey's greatest days because it was so genuine.
I'll let you guys get to work, all right? Keep an eye on him,
all right,
buddy.
Yeah, me.
Yes.
Rachel.
Good luck.
That's not the tank that I was thinking about. I don't think. Let me see the front of it. Is that the Ted's tank?
Yeah.
Does it go down in front a little bit?
Yeah.
That's the tank.
Yeah, that's what it looked like on there.
That probably holds 3.5 gallons.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to fit.
You'll make it do it, Rick.
Well, I can make it.
Because you can make magic.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Paul. Good to see you again.
How are you guys doing? Steve and Jeff came today to kind of go over the bike just to make sure that we had what we need to incorporate their stuff. On the bike.
Is this really our bike?
This is it. It's the beginning
of pretty cool looking, huh? When we arrived, I thought we were going to be looking at schematics. I didn't realize they were actually going to have the bike partially assembled already.
Is this really your equipment?
This is our stuff.
Holy mackerel.
Looks heavy.
Heavy metal.
Almost as heavy as the bike. So that's what we're out looking for.
Is this a real deal?
It is. It's a genuine meteorite from outer space.
I didn't know they were made out of steel. Did you? Seriously.
Well, they're not made out of steel.
It's not made out of steel. Don't be a jerk, Rick. I'll beat you up in front of these guys. I don't care.
That thing's got to be.
Like lead?
One of the cool things, they brought in a couple pieces of meteors, and the biggest one they brought, I don't know how much it weighs, but it's probably, you know, a good maybe 35, 40 pounds. It's just really cool, and the things that they do is just very interesting, and it's, you know, stuff that, you know, probably us here never really thought about.
We got the big gnarly wheels that we looked at. The sidecar is going to be totally fabbed. We'll add that on there. We'll mount their computer on there, the metal detectors, picks, axes, shovels. Rick found a nice big gas tank for this, so you'd be able to go a nice long way.
Thanks.
This isn't a show-off bike. This is a practical bike. We've got equipment, computers. We've got to carry two of us on it.
This is probably the largest piece of equipment we'll be carrying on the bike.
And that telescope.
Yeah, it does fold down. It folds right down.
Oh, nice. Oh,
even better.
Very nice.
Even better, yeah.
When you compact stuff, it makes it very simple for us. Are you going to leave this equipment here?
Oh, we can.
Sure.
So at least for a little while, we get all measurements and everything so that our racks
are correct. Right.
Mounting all this stuff is really key to this project, and actually having it in hand is going to make it a lot easier to make the different kind of mounts and things that they want.
Oh, we're looking forward to this one. This is going to be a fun project.
This is definitely fun.
The fact that Poole Sr. and his team are actually building a motorcycle for the Meteorite Men, I think is pretty much the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And
it's a good
this
one.
Bike's really going to be used out there.
Yeah, that'll be great. What we got going here, Rob? I'm going to get this sidecar on here finally, I think.
Can I be of service?
You certainly can. Today I want to try to get, I'm working on this Meteorite Men sidecar. Ask Paul Sr. to give me a hand because he's pretty good with railings. What we want to do is, you know that nice square tube you got?
Mm-hmm.
We'll put that in here and we'll cut it straight and we'll just grind a little bit so that it ends up being level across here. We got to end up with something like this. This way you know what I'm talking about. All these slats.
No. That looks like they're about 3 and 4 inches on center.
Right.
Go ahead.
Senior's really good at doing the railing stuff, and basically that's what we were doing. So he was able to figure out all the spacing. I'm not very good at math myself, so he figured out all the spacing and the size of the tube.
All right, so how many I need? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Make them all the same, right?
Yep.
Being that steel work is in my background. I've done this kind of work for 20 years. So jumping in and giving Mike a hand with the sidecar platform was something that I was more than happy to do.
Oh, you're making them all nice and clean. All right, well, you're doing a hell of a job. I'm damn proud of you. How are we looking, boss?
Money, money.
That's what I want to hear.
Go ahead.
That's it. How's it looking?
It looks good, but we're definitely going to have crossbars.
Oh, well, we have to have cross brace anyway for strength.
Yeah.
We run 1 inch from corner to corner. We'll just tack it on every one of these that it whacks. We're doubling the thickness.
You think we have to go both ways, or?
Yeah, we'll crisscross it.
Today was a good start on a sidecar. Once we get the platform built out, we'll get a wheel and suspension on it. But one thing's for sure, it'll be built to take a beating.
Stay.
Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to do, we wanted to use an aluminum swing arm. It's a little bit longer than the swing arm that we typically would use on this frame. It is all aluminum, so it's lightweight, something we really wanted to just cut down on the weight. Another thing, too, is that being the bike was going to be used off-road, it's just going to be a lot stronger and just a lot easier to work with. Hold up, hold up. There you go. She's home.
Okay.
Okay, that's about where that's all going to sit.
Let's do the first cope at how many inches less? Oh, come on, Mike. You just had a tape measure in your hand, you jackass. Me and Rick are in the middle of, putting this Meteorite Men bike together here. It's a complete special build, you know? And what do we have here? 21. Okay, I got it. Don't move. I mean, everybody's been helping, though. Jim's doing some work in his shop. Jason's all doing some machine work, and he's getting some components ready to be mounted on.
I got a laptop mount.
All right, man. Way to go.
Honestly, I'm looking forward to the assembly of this bike. These guys are working diligently on the mechanics of making this bike work. You know, one more day, the bike will be coming apart.
So what do you do? You're heading up to Canada, huh?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
By the end of the day tomorrow, we should have the bike part of the build done. And it'll just be the sidecar we have to worry about.
At approximately 8:40 this morning, we were called to the scene. There was an accident this morning. The landlord had hired some workers to replace the roof. One of the workers had fallen through a hole in the roof and has expired. He's passed on. You know, this is a tragedy. It's unfortunate. Paul just moved into this building. He's trying to get his shop up and running. He's a good guy. I spoke to him this morning. He's completely distraught over this whole incident. You know, sent his condolences out for the family. But unfortunately, there was nothing anybody would have been able to do. It's a freak accident, and he did die from his injuries from a result of the fall.
We're all in shock right now. Things that you think that we're coming in this morning to do that are so pressing and whatever just don't mean anything right now. It's just very difficult to think that something like that happened here today. I don't even know what to say. Paulie, he wanted to tell Rachel in person, and everybody's visibly shaken, and it's just very hard to be here right now.
What we're waiting for right now is a company named Crime Scene Cleanup that's going to come down here. Once everything is, we get thumbs up, there's no more hazmat condition inside, then they're going to open this back up for business.
Today we were having a meeting, and I got this really crazy call, so I decided to pull Paul Sr. and Ronnie outside here to talk about what the call is about. It seems that there's some work being done at Paulie's new shop, and the landlord had two guys there, and they're working on the roof. One of the guys fell through, died this morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we don't know who he is.
Steve just told me that there was two people working on the top of the building that Paulie's renting, and one of the guys fell through the roof this morning, and he died.
It's just crazy.
Listen, every day's a gift. Every day's the only day you got, you know what I mean? That's just the way I look at it, because you get up in the morning, you know, you
never know.
You know, I don't know if his reaction immediately was to reach out to Paulie, but I wouldn't put it past that he would just give him a call. You know, stuff like this makes people think, and you would hope something like this would prompt a phone call just to make sure people are okay. I heard Paulie showed up, but I don't know if he was there when it happened.
No matter what, Paulie's my son, and, you know, it's his first year being in business, so, you know, to have something like that is really tragic.
So, anyway, just wanted to tell you.
Okay.
Guess I'll get back home now.
Today's the first day back in the shop since this tragic situation. And, you know, we're just going to get everyone together. Got to get back in there, back to work. But before we do that, I got my pastor here today. He's going to say a few words. And, you know, hopefully that'll be comforting to the employees. I guess we'll just get right to it. You know, I mean, obviously we had a horrible tragedy here. This is our place of work. And, you know, everybody is a big part of what happens here. Let me introduce my pastor. This is my pastor, Pastor Phil.
Junior called me just to have me come in and show concern for his workers, his family, and the circumstance they're in here, and also for the family of the deceased, that he wanted to be respectful and show that it was not something that we just shoved under the door and walked away, that we took the time to acknowledge it and ask God's blessing on that family as well. As a pastor, I meet with people regularly who are what I call touched by eternity, either a new baby coming into the world or somebody leaving. And it makes us realize how vulnerable we are. I think one of the things that I just felt we ought to consider is the fact that we can't go around acting like nothing can happen to me. In light of that, I think what we need to do is we need to acknowledge that we need somebody bigger than ourselves.
I'm struggling with this thing as well. You know, I just trust that things happen for a reason. You know, you find comfort in knowing that there's a plan that's in place.
I think that what we need to do is we need to focus on the fact that life goes on and that we are called to live. And we remember someone who's lost, but at the same time, it cannot be something that dominates our lives and our thinking. Part of what we go through is realizing that these people who've stepped out of our lives, or what they were doing was they were going through life. And we need to continue to do the same thing and make people feel comfortable with that. There's nothing wrong with living.
First of all, Pastor, I want to thank you for coming out and talking to everybody. You know, I thought we should all do this together instead of trickling in one at a time. We should come in as a group. We're a team. We all care about each other, and business is important to us moving forward and how we handle that. So with that said, I think we can all go to lunch. I'll buy everyone lunch. We'll all go sit down and break some bread. Sound good, Joe?
Sounds good.
Let's do it. You good, Mama?
I'm good.
Definitely the important thing is we stuck together as a team through this thing. My mother was nice enough to come, which is really a big deal. It meant a lot to me. The pastor spoke and just really, you know, touched on some things that I think people needed to hear. And I just felt like it was an extremely appropriate transition from what happened to getting back to work.
You know, I had found out the other day that Paulie had somebody fall through his roof and got killed. And I guess it just, you know, it took a day to really set in. So on the way into work this morning, you know, I just figured I'd give them a call, let them know that I was concerned, and just letting them know that if there's something I can do to help, let me know. Tried calling him yesterday, but his mailbox was full. So even though he's not answering his phone today, I could still leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message.
Yeah, I heard about the incident the other day. I was out there in Canada, actually, and they told me about it. So, I guess the important thing is that you and Mikey are okay. And, you know, if there's anything I can do to help out, just give me a call. Yeah, I'm going to go back in the shop, get a few guys together that actually worked closely with Paulie. Just give him a rundown. Hey, Mike and Jason. Rick. Tommy.
Seemed to get everybody together this morning just to see and make sure everybody knew about there was a, you know, unfortunate accident over at Paulie's shop.
I don't know if you guys know that a guy fell through the roof at Paulie's building the other day. It's a tragic thing. You know, we're in competition. It's going to stay that way. But I think that in a situation like this, it's sad, especially for the family. But I know you guys know Paulie and work with him. So, you know, if you wanted to reach out to him and just give him a little support, that would be cool. You know, there's not a lot of communication going on between companies, but I just wanted them to know that it's okay to reach out in a situation like this.
Have you talked to him?
I called him, left a message. He don't usually respond to any of my emails or my phone calls, but you know what? I feel like I'm obligated to do it, and you know.
No, that was right.
You know what I'm saying? So I always try to reach out.
Right, no, that's good. That's a good start for.
So I always do that. I always do that.
Yeah. He said he actually gave Paulie a call. And see if them guys maybe start talking maybe a little bit. Or I mean, it's gotta be tough on them guys. Or you know, tough on Paulie and tough on the family to you know the person who was killed. So you know, hopefully something positive comes out of it.
All right, that's cool.
Okay, thanks for the information.
All right.
Mijo.
Hey.
What do you got here, man? You got a little painting going on?
Yes.
Today I got a voice message from my father. He just, you know, said that he heard what happened here and basically said, you know, he was glad me and Mikey were okay and that if we needed anything to call him. So anyways, I got a call from Dad.
You did?
Yeah, he left a message. You know, I really don't know how to feel about it. I mean, I think it's nice that he called. I just think that it's a tough deal. You know, this whole situation of me and my father is not an easy cut and dry thing.
If there's anything I can do,
I can appreciate the call, but it's like, you know, first of all, it's 3 days later, which, whatever, that's fine. Maybe he just, it took him a couple, 3 days to come around and say what he had to say, but I don't know. It would have been nice to get a call the same day. You know, usually these things, if you're going to offer help or yourself or a phone call, you usually do it as things are going on, not after it's all done.
I can hear some sincerity in my father's voice, I think, but, you know, he called 3 days after he found out about the situation. I think even if he knew we weren't injured, the fact that something horrible happened here, I think even just a call to say, hey, all aside, you guys okay? Move on with it. You know, lawsuit and all.
All I could ever say is actions speak louder than words. I'm not trying to, you know, beat the guy up. I could appreciate that he called. But, you know, you could say an awful lot of things, but your actions are what matter. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, there's these things in place, which is like what I talk about with the actions, where if they weren't in place, you could start to mend fences. But under the circumstances, he's constantly throwing salt in the wound. So it never, nothing ever heals, nothing ever mends.
I wouldn't call him back strictly because he's suing you.
On those grounds?
Yeah.
Surely, I mean, surely, you know, on principle.
That's why I say just text him, let him know that we're okay. Thanks for asking.
There's always an open door. But not just for a matter of convenience. If you want to move on and start having a relationship, I'm open to that. But that's not under these circumstances. See you later, Michael.
See ya.
Now, if he wants to work on things and make some changes, and as I will too, you meet in the middle, that's fine. But that's not what this is.
Hey, wow, you're
in it out.
Whoa.
Wow. Hey, that's cool. Today we're working back on the Meteorite Men bike.
I like it.
Very nice. It's kind of an odd circumstance here. We're still doing fab work on the sidecar portion of the bike, and actually we're starting to do the assembly of the bike part itself.
This might be the first time we're doing this. We're doing a fab and assembly at the same time.
Yeah, about it.
Complete fabrication and complete assembly. It's great.
Pretty much.
Bring the tranny back to me hard.
Oh.
Send her home. Hopefully it's going to work out. We're down to a couple days, and this thing's got to ship out. So we're hoping for the best.
Beauty. Me and Rick are still working on the sidecar, and we got Christian, Phil, and Skeeter putting together the motorcycle part of it. I'm going right in front of you then. Tell me when.
Good.
We're doing pretty good. You know, Rick's got just like one more piece of sheet metal left to do. I'll probably be here till maybe midnight to try to finish up as much welding. We got a deadline here in a couple of days. The whole project's got to leave. So if that means I have to put in some extra hours, get everything done, then that's what I'll do. Morning, you know, it was final day we have for Meteorite Men to get this bike done. We probably got 5-6 guys on one lift putting a bike together.
Looks like a beehive over there, doesn't it?
I noticed you spotted a safe zone over here in Hall Bay.
Yeah, yeah. It's dangerous over there.
We got 4 or 5 guys on the L lift putting a sidecar together. Everybody's pulling together as a good team.
Looks good. Phil did a nice job wrapping.
As usual, we pulled it off. Bike's done. The bike came out awesome looking. Everything's functional on it that we built. The only thing we have left to do is put the baffles in the exhaust, put the finishing touches on the sidecar, and she'll be ready to go. There you go. That's good. That's what we want. We don't want it soft.
We're back to work, which isn't easy after the tragedy. We finally got some bike parts being delivered. We still don't have power, which is frustrating, but Pete's supposed to hook it up tomorrow, which... we're off to a decent start.
It's like standard half tanks welded together.
You know, I came in first thing this morning, and we had a bunch of parts. We got a couple different gas tanks. We got the wheels, which we really needed, so I could take some measurements to really start figuring out the webs that we're going to cut in these wheels. We got a lot of miscellaneous stuff, forward controls, hand controls, and it's all stuff we need. So the more stuff that starts coming in, the better.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's the idea for it to look like that.
You know what I mean? That would look good, don't you think so? A lot of work, but...
it is, because they're almost, every one of them is going to be almost a different radius.
No, the beauty of the shapes is, this will be flat, it'll roll in. This will roll
in. Right, it'll roll in, but
you know
right
what I mean?
As the distance here...
oh, yeah, but that's okay.
Right. Since we did have some parts, we had a gas tank. We really wanted to get right into it, start figuring out how we were going to cut this the way Junior wanted to get the look he wanted. So, you know, it's a process. I think we're starting to come up with a good idea, but, you know, it's hard. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. You know, it's just, you know, the better way to do it.
Do me a favor, that ring roller thing came in, the big one. Bring that down here on that cart. Yeah, this looks awesome, huh? Those guys are good. Man, it makes this the area, doesn't it? While we're bringing in parts and taking a look at our gas tank, our new toolboxes are being installed. And I got to tell you, it feels like things are starting to go our way.
I talked to Pete. It's worse than we thought.
Why?
The power, that thing will be done tomorrow. Pete will have his quote to us tomorrow. He won't start till Thursday, and it takes 4 days.
I don't understand why.
He told me the reason why it's taking that long is because we didn't give him a layout until Thursday.
Okay, so what? I'm just tired of talking about it, to be honest with you, but it's what it is. Pete still has more work in here. I just think it was maybe a little lack of communication. It's just one of those things where you get frustrated in the moment and you realize that things still aren't ready, and it's just pretty much where we're at. So all next week he'll be putting wiring in while we be waiting for all our machines again.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to blame Pete, because Pete's been great through this whole thing, but someone has to pay.
Hey. I see an impressive vehicle this way you're coming.
Steve and I are out here in Kansas, one of our meteorite hunting sites. And it was interesting. We just got a target, and we heard an interesting sound. And here comes this majestic orange vehicle looking like a chariot rocketing down the dirt road with Paul Sr. on it. It was a sight I will never forget.
Okay, now I've seen everything. Nice.
Pretty cool, huh?
I'd say that's about the coolest thing I've seen in this lifetime.
We've been so excited about this day for months and months, waiting all the anticipation. We couldn't wait to see it. And when Paul drove up on the motorcycle, it just instantaneously surpassed all my expectations.
Look at this.
Where do you want to start? GPS, Science Channel coil cover.
Uh-huh.
This fan is designed to cool the motor.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. You got the laptop. You got all these mounts to carry this here stuff. You got your platform.
Yeah.
You got your swivel chair over here.
Just like he asked for.
All-terrain tires.
Wow. Yeah.
I think you've officially thought of everything.
Not only do we have a piece of machinery that's going to really practically help us, but that is one cool-looking bike.
Well, I hope it was rewarding for you and your team to design something that's really going to be used on our expedition. We work in some difficult and treacherous areas, and the idea behind this bike was a real powerful workhorse that will assist us in our rather unusual work, hunting for meteorites.
You got it all.
Yeah, you really have, and then some. Some things we didn't even think of.
Yeah, I think you got everything you could think of on this. All you need is a driver.
Yeah, we'll fight about that.
When those guys got on it, they looked like Lewis and Clark to me. They had the bigger of the two guys in the swivel seat and the littler guy driving, so it looked kind of odd, but it was funny to watch them go through the fields down here. The bike is a little bit hard to handle because it's set up for rough terrain, so it has knobby tires on it, but I think they did really well, and I thought it looked pretty cool. What do you think?
That's about as good as it gets.
Pretty cool, right?
Fantastic.
All right, guys.
Paul, you're our hero.
Yeah, I hope
you enjoy it.
And, the deal is I get, like, half. Whatever you guys get in the meteorites, I get half, okay?
Only half? That's very generous of you.
I'm a generous guy.
You are?
Take care, guys.
Thanks for everything.
Right.
Be safe.
Now we got the bike, and it's time to get out there and find some meteorites. And I guess our deal is to give half of them to Senior, so maybe he'll at least get them half of the meteorites we find. That seems fair.